Good morning. A warm welcome to everyone joining us today for our worship here in St John's. I hope you will enjoy our time of sharing and worshipping our Lord. We have made great strides in operating various systems within the church to ensure we can reach as many of our congregation as possible, ensuring our services are as safe as humanly possible. It is different to what we were used to, but for the foreseeable future, I feel it will become the new normal. Our intimations. Our Bible studies continue on Thursday evening at 7 p.m. on the Zoom platform. If you would like to join us, please get in touch with me or Elijah, and we can send you the electronic link. At this time, the new national COVID-19 restrictions do not relate to places of worship, and we intend to proceed with our services as planned. As always, this is constantly reviewed. As Elijah and his family are still in lockdown, it gives me great pleasure to welcome the Reverend Elizabeth Cleland to lead our worship today. Elizabeth will also be providing pastoral care cover for the next 2 weeks. Thank you, Elizabeth, for coming and covering at a short notice, and we look forward to hearing from you today. May you keep safe and enjoy our worship.
Good morning. It's lovely to be with you today and leading worship. It's been a long time. Our call to worship. O God, who created the heavens and stretched them out, we praise you. You fashioned the earth and all that lives there. We praise you. You give breath to the people upon it and spirit to those who walk on it. We praise and thank you, O God, that the eyes of the blind be opened, the brokenhearted be healed, the poor hear the good news, the captives be brought out of darkness. Your kingdom come, O Lord, your will be done. So shall we sing a song of worship and praise your name forever. Our first hymn this morning is 153, Great is Thy Faithfulness.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Lord God, the wonders of your creation, the splendour of the heavens, the beauty of the earth, and the order and richness of nature, all speak to us of your glory. The coming of your Son, the presence of your Spirit, the fellowship of your church, show us the marvel of your love. We worship and adore you, God of grace and glory. God of mercy and love, in humbleness of heart we confess our sin. When we forget to love and serve you and wander from your ways, when we are careless of your world and put its life in danger, when we talk of our concern for others but fail to match our words with action, Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Merciful God, forgive us our sins and bring us now to everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, in whose name we pray together. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory for ever. Amen.
Our reading today is from the Gospel according to St. Matthew, reading chapter 21, from verse 33. The Parable of the Tenants. Listen to another parable. There was a landowner who planted a vineyard. He put a wall around it, dug a wine press in it, and built a watchtower. Then he rented the vineyard to some farmers and went away on a journey. When the harvest time approached, he sent his servants to the tenants to collect his fruit. The tenants seized his servants. They beat one, killed another, and stoned a third. Then he sent other servants to them, more than the first time, and the tenants treated them in the same way. Last of all, he sent his son to them. "They will respect my son," he said. But when the tenants saw the son, they said to each other, "This is the heir. Come, let's kill him and take his inheritance." So they took him and threw him out of the vineyard and killed him. Therefore, when the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those tenants? "He will bring those wretches to a wretched end," they replied, "and he will rent the vineyard to other tenants who will give him his share of the crop at harvest time." Jesus said to them, "Have you never read in the scriptures, 'The stone the builders rejected has become the capstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvellous in our eyes'? Therefore I tell you that the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people who will produce its fruit. He who falls on this stone will be broken to pieces, but he on whom it falls will be crushed." When the chief priests and the Pharisees heard Jesus' parables, they knew he was talking about them. They looked for a way to arrest him, but they were afraid of the crowd, because the people held that he was a prophet. Amen. Thanks be to God.
For 4 years in a row, I walked the Camino Santiago de Compostela pilgrimage journey through Spain. It was always at this time of year, and as in this country, so too there the harvest was being gathered in. The photograph that's on the screen shows pilgrims walking through what was mile after mile of vineyards, which at that time were full of ripened grapes. There were workers in the fields picking the grapes and then loading them into trailers, which pulled by tractors would then pass us on the road, heading for the factories that would press the fruit and turn it into wine. And you may know there's a famous stopping off water fountain in the Rioja region, which does not freely give water to weary travellers, but the best of red wine. But it's not only huge vineyards that grow the grapes, for it seemed to me that each homestead I passed had their own vines for household use. As you can imagine, I had many different experiences on my travels, and I share just one with you today. It was an early afternoon and I had been on the road for hours, walking in the blistering heat. And, unfortunately, I had gotten myself lost. I must have missed one of the yellow arrows which point the way, and I had no idea if I was walking in the right direction or not. My body was beginning to ache, and I was feeling more than a little despondent. I came upon a little hamlet, and as I was walking through, heard a shout, "Hola!" I looked round and there was a little old lady waving to me and beckoning me over to her home. I waved back to her but kept on walking. Again the shout went up, "Hola!" And again I waved and kept on walking. The third time the cry went up, "Hola!" And as I looked round, she had left her house and was running after me. She grabbed my arm and pointed over towards her home. I shook my head and made to go on. But then she grabbed me and pulled me across the road. I decided to give in. And she sat me down and disappeared through her front door. I did think I might make an escape, but too late. She reappeared, carrying a small table, which was followed by a tray with a beautiful lace tray cloth on it. That was followed then by a bowl of red grapes and a dish with some crackers on it. All was set before me, and she motioned for me to eat. And as I raised some grapes to my mouth, she made the sign of the cross and sat beside me watching as I ate this simple meal. And as we sat there in companionable silence, all thoughts of being lost and weary and despondent fell away from me, and I felt completely at home. The stranger had offered me a gift, and finally I had the grace to receive it. The meal finished and I rose to leave, thanked her, gave her a hug, and set off once more. I'd only gone a short distance when I heard a cry, Hola! I looked round and there she was waving and pointing to a little path I hadn't seen before. I turned round and took the path and, after only a short time, found one of the yellow arrows that told me I was back on the right track. I received a blessing that day, one which I could easily have missed had I not paid heed to this woman's call and refused the nourishment that was freely offered. And maybe, just perhaps, you can see a wee connection with the reading we heard today from Matthew's Gospel, where much was on offer, but much was refused. As I journeyed on into the evening, I thought how close I'd come to missing out on how this elderly lady had showed me the gracious love of God the Father, whose deepest desire is that his lost and weary children should come home. The parable we heard today that Jesus shared all these years ago presents an extreme image to those who first heard it. And yet, it is also a word of grace today for you and for me. Sometimes I think we forget that we are simply tenants here, passing through the years on earth that are granted to us. How often we fail to remember that everything we are and everything we think we own are just ours for a short time. Our homes, the land, our work, our congregations, our children, our spouses, our communities, our very bodies were created by God and given to us for this little span of time. And yet, how often we forget, thinking all of it belongs to us. It's an important word we've heard today, and while it may not seem like it at first, it is a life-giving word. You and I are here because of God's generosity and God's tender care. God planted the vineyard, set the boundaries in place. God gave the wine press and the watchtower. He has given us all that we need. All we are asked to do is to remember this. All is given by way of gift. A gift to have, but a gift to be shared, not to be kept. It's a word for us. It's a word for the church to share. It's a word for the whole earth. So may we today be good tenants, look after all that has been given to us, and may we always remember to share the blessing, the grace of God, with each person we meet. Amen, and God bless his word to us this day.
Good morning. Many of you will know that during the month of September, I was undertaking a charitable challenge, running and walking almost 300 miles to raise money for the Red Cross Miles for Refugees campaign. My challenge has come to an end, but today two of my friends are undertaking the virtual London Marathon, running the grueling 26 miles, but on their home turf, along with thousands of others, many of whom are likely to be raising money for the charity of their choice. The impact the pandemic has had on charitable fundraising has been devastating, with the cancellation of mass events resulting in the loss of millions of pounds of much-needed funds. And so organisations are seeking to find COVID-friendly ways to reclaim some of that fundraising. The piece I am playing this morning is regarded as one of the most inspirational pieces of music ever written. I played it for my friends earlier this morning via live video link, and I hope that it will be ringing in their ears just now and inspire their every step. And as it rings in your ears now, I would like to ask for your support, for a donation, but not in funds, in prayer. As you listen, please donate your prayers to all those seeking to raise vital charitable funds, to all those working tirelessly for those charities, and most importantly, for the millions of people across the globe whose very survival depends on your support. Thank you.
Our prayers for others and ourselves. Let us pray. Loving God, we are the body of Christ created in your image, known and loved by you. love for who we are, accepted, forgiven and restored, united to live in your ways. May we become more Christ-like in our thoughts and in our actions. We are nourished by faith, helping us face the challenges of each day, to carry us through times of illness, grief and anxiety, replenishing and restoring us, building us up as your people. As we gather in worship, either in the church or remotely via the internet or CD, nurture our fellowship in these unusual times. Bind us together through our common faith and strengthen our purpose to live out the gospel. We remember those who are ill at home or in hospital. Be a comforter to them in trying circumstances, especially when visits from friends and family are restricted. We are called to serve the lost, the lonely and the deserted. Enable us through our words and our actions to be the hands and feet of our church today. Be with us, feed us with compassion, that we might be filled with your Spirit as we seek to respond in faith to the needs that are so apparent in our broken world. As the COVID pandemic grows unabated, continuing and long-standing injustices plague the world. Famine, oppression, exploitation, war, millions of refugees living in dehumanizing conditions. So much is wrong with how we treat each other and your created world. We pray for peace where there is conflict. We pray for justice to be observed in situations of injustice. And we pray that people show grace and respect. Life on our planet faces so many challenges. Make us responsible guardians of your created world and guide world leaders to work together as they seek to resolve these and other issues. Help us to be good tenants of your creation, acknowledging our roles and your power in our lives. As God's people, we are entrusted with the care and nurture of this world. Encourage us to acknowledge that trust and privilege to work out God's love and purpose within our communities and beyond. May the saving grace of Jesus Christ humble and sustain us in our walk of faith. We are instructed to love our families, our friends and neighbours, and also our enemies, showing love that may be sacrificial. Lord, nourish our faith that we might have love to show others, the love Christ has shown us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Our time together is drawing to a close, but there is one final hymn of praise, hymn 522. The church is wherever God's people are praising. And now may the blessing of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit be with you and rest upon you this day and forevermore. Amen.